John 17. You know, here we are at the beginning of the new year. As I mentioned just a second ago, it's not the beginning of Jesus' life that we just celebrated at Christmas, but this is the end of his life here on earth. This is the end of his earthly ministry, and the Holy Spirit records for us a prayer. Jesus prayed a lot. In fact, we get a lot of notes all throughout the Gospels of Jesus going away by himself, spending a night alone in prayer. Jesus prayed a lot. We don't get many of those prayers recorded because we obviously don't need to know all of the communication between the Father and the Son. But the Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to hear this prayer because we need it. Obviously, Jesus' communication here to the Father, Jesus' prayer, the Son's desire for those he is about to leave behind, we need to know that. We need to benefit that. You know, here, tomorrow is New Year's Day. And a lot of times, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, we step back. And it's a little bit of a cultural thing. It's a good thing, but we step back and we say, okay, wait a minute. Let's take a look. What was going on last year? What needs to go on this year? What is it that maybe we need to kind of refocus on? We started off all right at the beginning of the year last year, but somehow or another, man, we didn't end the year as well as we started. So now we need to step back. Here is what John 17 offers us. John 17 offers us the opportunity to step back and to say, God, I want to know what is most important. Big picture. Jesus, why do you have me here? What is it that you want me to do? Jesus, I want to know what your desire is. What on earth am I doing here? Show me at the beginning of the year. What on earth am I doing? Why? What are we doing even as a church? What is this that we are doing? We just get together on Sunday morning. I had a pastor say one time, the relentless return of Sundays, right? You just keep going. Why? What are we doing? We get up, we go to work, we come home, we go back to bed, and we get up and do it all over again the next day. What for? John 17. He begins speaking to his Father, and he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Jesus' earthly ministry is finished. All that is left, that is needed to do, is for now the Father to glorify the Son, and that would come at the resurrection, that the Father would prove through a demonstration of divine power, this is my Son. If all of the works and all of the words and the miracles and the dove and the transfer, if all of that did not prove that Jesus was God's Son, there is one stage left to come in which the Father will glorify the Son. That's the resurrection. Jesus is saying, God, that's all that's left. He says in verse 2, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. What was it that Jesus was doing while he was here? He says, Father, it's all done. Now all that's left is for you to glorify me so that I can glorify you. God, I have done what you've given me to do. I've given life, eternal life, to those whom you gave to me. That Jesus was there in the world and he had the power and the authority to give eternal life. And that's what he was doing. Look at verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, most of the time when we think about eternal life, you know what we think about? We think about our address after we die. That's what we think about when we think eternal life. We think about going, in fact, I mentioned it this morning, and you know what, that's part of eternal life. I was talking to Sandy this morning. Many of you know that Miss Lena Angus passed away just a few hours ago. Miss Lena, she's not suffering anymore. And you know what, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And man, we praise God for that. That's a great promise that we have. But most of the time when we think about eternal life, all we think about is just being with the Father and Jesus then, at the end of our life. Jesus defines eternal life a different way, though. It's not just being with them then. Jesus says eternal life is knowing them now. To know the Father and our Savior Jesus. To know them now. To know them. Not just know about them, but to know them. Jesus says, Father, I've done what you've given me to do. All that's left is for you to be glorified and to glorify me. He says, I have given them eternal life. Here's what he means, is that Jesus says that they have come to know you. That, God, I was with them. I was here. And Jesus' role was to allow the people around him to know the Father. How would they know their Heavenly Father? How would they know the God who created them, who loved them? How would they know Him? They couldn't, except that Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, and who is the exact replica of His nature, God sent Jesus. They could not see the invisible God, but they could see Jesus. And when they looked at Him, and when they trusted that He was who He said He was, boom! Their eyes were opened, and they could know their Heavenly Father. They could know Him. Jesus says, man, God, that's what I've been doing, and I've done it. And the people that you gave me, they have come to know you. Watch this. Follow me here. He's walking us through this. Verse 4. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Man, what an epitaph on your tombstone. Jesus says, Father, I have done what you have given me to do. You know what? On December the 31st, 2018, I want to be able to look back and I want to be able to say, Father, I've done what you've given me to do this year. At the end of the road, of this earthly road, at the end of my life, I want to be able to look back and say, Father, God, I've done what you've given me to do. Man, what a verse for the new year. Jesus said, Father, I've done what you've given me to do. Now, I want to stop right here for just a second. Most of the time when we think about success and we think about accomplishing the things that God has given us to do, man, we've got a list of tasks. Well, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And most of the time, our list of tasks that we want to accomplish in a day or in a month or in a year, most of the time, our lists are far too great for us to finish them all. Rarely do we ever finish all of our New Year's resolutions, right? And so you think, man, Jesus said, God, I've accomplished everything you've given me to do. And we think, oh, man, well, how in the world? How am I going to do everything that God gives me to do in the course of a day or a month or a year? How am I going to do that? Or a lifetime? How am I going to do everything that God has given me to do? Because it seems like such a huge task. Oh, that's why we need John 17, because it's not like that at all. In fact, what we are about to see as Jesus prays through this and as the Holy Spirit records for us, what we're going to see is that what Jesus is praying is that he is praying that we would be able to say the same thing. And it's not a list. In fact, it's not a set of tasks at all. Let's watch. Verse 6. Jesus says, Father, I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. Jesus begins to describe a little bit more in detail about what it was that he had been given to do, what it was that he had accomplished. And it's this. He says, Father, he says, I manifested your name. The word manifest means to declare or to make seen, to make available, to make people aware, to manifest God's name. God's name is his character. Jesus says, God, I made your character. I made you able to be seen in the lives of the people that you gave me. When we think about what Jesus came to do, maybe your mind automatically goes to the verse, well, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Absolutely. He did. There's another verse, though. You know what else Jesus came to do? And this is really how he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to reveal the Father. That's what John says. Jesus came to reveal the Father. That Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That mankind on the earth, you could not know who your heavenly Father is if Jesus had not come. But he is the perfect representative. They could look at Jesus and know exactly what the Father was like. That as they watched Jesus and his patience, they knew what the Father was like. As they watched Jesus and the wisdom with which he engaged the people around him, including the Pharisees, they could know what the Father was like. As they watched Jesus and his compassion for the people who were like sheep without a shepherd, they knew what the Father was like. As they watched Jesus and even his anger at what was being done in the temple, they knew what the Father was like, because Jesus accurately, faithfully manifested the Father's name. That's what Jesus was sent to do. And as people around him saw the Father in him, they came to believe, to trust him, and they could know the Father. And believing, they had life. To know the Father. That's what Jesus was doing. We get on down to 7 and 8, and Jesus gives us a little understanding of the mechanics of how this worked between him and the Father. We get a sense, Jesus helps us to understand the kind of the deal, if you were, that he and the Father had. Verse 7, now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. Here's what was happening. Jesus helps us to understand this. This is something the disciples came to know as they watched Jesus, but he wants us to understand it as well. That Jesus didn't do anything of his own initiative. That the words Jesus spoke, God gave him, the Father gave him those words to speak. The places that Jesus went, God directed him to go to those places. The people that Jesus healed, God directed him to heal those people, and God provided the power to do that. That the Father was giving to the Son everything, and the Son was merely reflecting what the Father had given to him. That's what Jesus was doing. God gave to the Son, the Father gave to the Son was merely reflecting only that which the Father had given. Jesus put it like this, I don't do anything of my own accord, only that which the Father gives to me. You realize that? Now, how can that be? How can the Son, who is part of the Trinity, who's equal with the Trinity, the Son and the Father, is one greater than another? No, they're the same. They're just one God, right? But yet the Son obeys the Father. Yes, He does. The Son is dependent on the Father. Yes, He is. The Father said, you go here, and the Son said, okay, I'll go there. The Father said, you say this, and the Son said, yep, okay. And the Son says, I have manifested your name. Let's keep going. Verse 11. I am no longer in the world. Now, wait a minute. Okay, there's a problem. There is a problem here. Because if mankind could not know the Father apart from the Son, and if the Son is the image of the invisible God, if the Son is the one who's revealing the Father to man, what's going to happen if Jesus leaves? How are we going to know the Father? How is mankind going to gain eternal life? How is mankind going to know the Father? Because the Son, who's revealing the Father, where is He? I don't see Him. He's not here. He's no longer in the world. In fact, He was only here for about 33 years. And He even says to the Father, I'm no longer in the world. Jesus is gone. Now we know, yes, we know that He sent the Holy Spirit. And He deals with that in chapter 16. He does. Jesus talks about it. He sent the Holy Spirit. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, Jesus is not here physically to reveal the Father. I am no longer in the world, yet they themselves are in the world. Jesus is not here, but who is? We are. And then Jesus begins His prayer for us. He says, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. Wait a minute, Jesus. Jesus, I see where you're going here, and I don't know that I'm real comfortable with the direction that Jesus is headed here. Jesus, I hear you saying you're not here, but we are. But I don't know that I like what you're saying when you say that you want the Father to keep us in His name. You know what He's praying? He's praying that the Father would protect us so that we would be kept in God's name. What did it mean when He said that Jesus came to manifest the Father's name? That Jesus came to display God's character. Jesus is praying that God would keep us, His disciples, that He would keep us consistent with God's character, that we would accurately reflect the character of our Heavenly Father to the world around us. Jesus is not here, but we are. And He is praying that God would protect us so that His character would be accurately reflected in us. Keep us in His name. Ruh-roh. Jesus is praying that we would accurately reflect the character of God. And if we're honest with ourselves, I don't think at this point in my life, at least not yet, I'm better than I used to be, but I'm not satisfied that I am an accurate representative of God's character. But I want to be. And Jesus is praying that I will be. Verse 14. I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, although I wish he would, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Wait a minute, Jesus, I don't know that I'm comfortable with you asking the Father to keep me in his name, because I don't feel like I'm a very worthy vessel to reflect the Father's character to the world around me. Jesus says, that's all right, I've given you my word. Given you my word. There's truth that is truth, by the way. If we're going to reflect the Father's character, you know what? We don't get to choose what the Father's character looks like. In fact, we don't get to figure out what the Father's character looks like. We have to be taught. We have to be taught what the Father's character looks like. So Jesus gave us his word. And his word, in fact, it says, sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth. That our lives are set apart for truth. Our lives are made different by the Word of God. And that as God's Word teaches us, our lives become more accurate representatives of God's character. But he prays that God would protect us from the evil one. That as God's word molds us and shapes us and instructs us and makes us more accurate representatives of God's character, there is also a counter goal. There is also a counter effort. That the evil one would love for us to reflect not God's character, but just my own natural character. That's just the way that I am. I mean, listen, none of us are going to be perfect before we get to heaven, right? So that's just the way that I am. And the evil one is saying, gotcha. No! No, we want God's word. We don't want to stay like that. We want to be more accurate representatives of God's character. Why? Because watch this. This is the scariest verse in this whole passage. Verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Man, wait a minute. Jesus, you mean to tell me that in the same way, that for the same purpose, with the same goal, that the Father sent the Son into the world, the Son says, hey, all right, I'm leaving you guys. You're it. That's exactly right. And so now the Father says, okay, here comes the Son. My A number one operatives. Those who will reveal the Father to the world. It's us. Jesus is not here. Now we have the Holy Spirit in us, but Jesus isn't here. But we are. How in the world are they going to, the folks around us, the world around us, how are they going to come to know the Father, which is eternal life? Because we're here. So your neighbors, your family, your work. Listen, you know, you realize that the place where you work, you didn't just happen to get that job. You were sent. You were sent there. And what were you sent to do? Make a paycheck? Well, okay. But ultimately, you were sent there to reveal the Father to those people. You were sent there to accurately reflect the character of their Heavenly Father and the truth of who His Son is. That's, you were sent right there for that purpose. And listen, you know what that means? That means that everything that you do has unbelievable universal significance. And so whether it is, maybe it is that you, as Stephen Curtis Chapman in one of his songs says, maybe you're hooking up mergers or cooking up burgers. Either way, the work that you're doing, that's really not ultimately what you're doing. Because whatever role that you have been given to do, what you ultimately are sent there to do is to reveal the Father. Whatever it is that we do. So then in my home, you know what, man? Think about this. In my home, my responsibility, the reason I've been put in the home and the family that I am in, is to reveal the Father to my children. It gets me every morning. It gets me every single morning. Ultimately, that's the goal of parenting, is for my children to come to know their Heavenly Father by watching their earthly father. To gain trust in their Heavenly Father by learning to trust their earthly father. What about when you go to work? How are those people around you? How are they going to come to know their Heavenly Father? They're not going to pick it up by looking at the mountains. No, you've been sent to reveal the Father. As the Father sent the Son, now the Son sends us. Let's keep reading. We got just a minute. Verse 20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. By the way, that's us. He is not praying just for the 12. But he's praying for everybody for the last 2,000 years who believed through the word of the 12. That's us. He's praying for us that they may all be one. Now, we talk about unity. Let's look at what Jesus defines unity as. Even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Here's what he's saying. When he talks about unity, that we may be one, here's what he means. Jesus came, Jesus had the Father in him such that Jesus didn't do one thing on his own initiative, that the Father was guiding him. Jesus was completely unified with the Father in that he only did what the Father gave him to do. Jesus prays that as the Father was in him, so he may be in us. Do you know what that means? What that means is that we are in complete unison with the Father, who through the Son and then through us is guiding everything that we do, that the Father calls the shots. The Father directs our responses. The Father provides the wisdom. The Father gives us the words to say. That the Father, through the Son, through us, and then us together, that we are unified as we accurately represent the Father to the world. Think about that. That's why we're here. How is the world going to know the Father if the Son's not here? He sent us. And the goal, what He has called us to do, is to accurately reflect the Father to the world. You know what? Let me just talk for just a minute. Here we are. We could talk about all the different circumstances that we individually are going to face. Let's talk about our church for just a second. That video that we just watched, I had a dual purpose in that video. One was to show us a window into where our money going to support the IMB. The second one was they said some extremely important things in that video. They talked about looking at the people around us and seeing the people with God's eyes. Loving the people around us with the love that the Father has for them. Understanding what God wants. Helping us to see the role that we have. You know, when we talk about ministries in our church and the way our church engages our culture around us, you know what? You know what? Our church, North Bedford Baptist Church, do you know that we have ministries in almost every neighborhood in the Lynchburg Forest community? We have ministries in probably 65 different organizations and companies and businesses all around the Lynchburg community. We have ministries, specific ministries, to probably 150 families just right here. Why? How? Because we're sent. We're sent there. And we are accurately, or the Lord wants us to accurately represent His character and His truth and His Son in the places where He has dropped us, where He's put us there. The people around us, we don't want them to just have a ticket to heaven. No. Eternal life, this is eternal life, that they may know the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Man, we want them, the people around us, we want them to know their Father and to know their Savior, Jesus Christ. And how are they going to do that? Me? We want to be able to say, God, I accomplished the work that You gave me to do, and it's not a list of tasks. It's not a list of check marks that I said, okay, I did this, and I did this, and I did this. I prayed every morning, and I read my Bible every morning, and I went to church every Sunday, and I went to Sunday school, and I gave my offering. No, it's not a list of tasks. Now, those are good things to do, but you know what? You can do all of those things, and if you miss reflecting the character of God, then you have missed what God wants you to do. Because when He says, I have done what You have given me to do, what He means is that I have accurately reflected Your character to those that You have given me. When we look at 2018, maybe it's not even just the year. Maybe it just needs to start with tomorrow. Maybe it just needs to start today. Before we go to bed tonight, we need to look back and say, did I do what God had given me to do? Did I accurately reflect the Father's character today? And then begin by getting up in the morning and saying, oh, God, You have got to help me. God, You got to teach me, and You got to help me, because I want to do today what You have given me to do today. I want to accurately reflect Your character where You have sent me to be today. And so then the Father comes. He fills the Son, and the Son comes, and as He teaches us in His Word, and as we seek Him with the things that we know are coming, the Son comes, and He fills us, and He enables us. The circumstances that come up every single day, and He helps us accurately reflect the Father's character and the Father's truth. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing. That's what Jesus prays would be true in our lives. Father, God, I thank You for Your Word. And I thank You that Your Son came that we might know You. God, we wouldn't know You at all if it weren't for Jesus. Father, I pray, God, I pray that You would help us. Lord, as we have trusted You, God, as we know You through the work of Your Son, Jesus, Father, through His sacrifice for us, God, I pray that You would use us, that we would recognize how You want to use us. God, we need Your power. God, we need You to teach us. God, we need You to guide us and direct us and mold us and shape us. Oh, Father, we need You to change us and enable us. God, we need You for everything. And Father, I pray. that you would keep in our eyes, before our eyes, the goal to do what you have given us to do, to reveal you and your Son Jesus to the world around us. In his name we pray. Amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And listen, if you are here this morning, and it's very possible that you're here, and there has never been a time you can't accurately reflect the Father because you don't know the Father. You've been attempting to know the Father. Maybe it is that you've been trying your hardest. But the truth is, it's not going to work. You trying your hardest is not going to work because the Bible says that all of us have sinned. We've already sinned. And sin before a holy God is a very scary thing. But God, because He loved us, sent His Son to pay the price for our sin on the cross and to rise from the grave to give us a new life. And if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior to take your sin and to give you new life so that you could know the Father, then you need to trust Him today. Don't leave without trusting Him today. Brothers and sisters, maybe it is that somewhere along the line, you have gotten way distracted. And rather than living the life of Christ, maybe it is, I have gotten way off of that, and I am living for me. That's our greatest danger, by the way. And you need to allow the Holy Spirit to say, wait a minute. You need to stop living your life and to live the life of Christ, and to be full every thought, every motive, every desire, every purpose, every action, every word to be His and to be Him. And if that is not your heart now, man, it needs to be. And in just a second, we're going to stand and sing. This is the time of response. Anytime you open God's Word, you have to respond in some way. Let's stand and sing.
Hymn 634.
Jim Nelson, so thankful you and Bev could be with us this morning. Would you pray and close our service this morning?
How we fit into your holy plan.
how we might reveal you to others and how our life might reflect your glory. So, Lord, I pray that as we conclude this year, help us with renewed vigor, with a renewed heart. Allow your Spirit to have preeminence in our lives to display the glory and the greatness of our God. We worship you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this message, and we thank you for this fellowship that is eager to hear the word of the Lord.